Grace to you and peace from our God, our Father, and His Son, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. As I've already announced, the hymn song that we are going to be studying today is actually, "Were You There When They Crucified My Lord?" How many of you know that? Everybody does, sure. It's a favorite. Before we really get into the hymn itself, I'd like to do a little introduction. It has been at least reported or written that the only pure American music is none other than country western, okay? And I just remember, I'm not a country western fan, but there was a while there where I got a little insane, and I guess I listened to some of it a long time ago. I remember hearing this one song. I don't know who the artist was, but, you know, he was singing the country western song. And then just about three quarters of the way through, he kind of stopped and he said, "A true country song isn't one unless it includes mama, a pickup truck, a train, prison, death, and a trailer." And then he went on. And please, I don't have it completely right, but he started out by saying, "I remember the day that my mama was killed in her pickup truck when she got hit by a train on the day I got out of prison," you know? Can you really get any more American than that when you think about it, okay? I mean, really. I really chuckled about that. And yet, I'm going to have to disagree and say I do not believe that country western is really the only pure American music that has come out of America. There's a music that came out of America that's actually older. And that music is none other than the Negro spiritual, which we no longer can call Negro spiritual. We must call it African American spiritual, okay? Please remember that, because I don't want you to get mugged someplace if you call it Negro, okay? The music, of course, actually came about way back in the days of slavery. Most of it was developed in the Deep South by the slaves that were working on the plantations. I don't know much that came out of slavery that was good. That's my opinion. I will say that there were slave owners who treated their slaves extremely well, almost just like family. But the vast majority of slaves were very ill-treated, okay? And yet, and I don't want to get killed for this, but I got to be careful. There was really one good thing that did come out of slavery. And that is that the Africans that were brought over here to America by force, on boat, sold, forced to work, at least they were Christianized. At least someone had the good sense of sharing with them the good news of Jesus Christ, the gospel. And God, out of His love for those people, worked in their hearts. And they came to faith in Jesus Christ as the Savior. The vast majority of our slaves, even before the Civil War, believe it or not, were Christian. Now, the problem was this. All of our slaves, they were illiterate, okay? You could not give them a Bible. They couldn't read it. Even if you could figure out what their native language was, over in Africa, they couldn't read it because that language had never been written down. And so there would be missionaries that would come into the plantations and work with the slaves. And actually, there were a number of the slaves who, you know, were kind of like lifted up, and some of them actually became preachers. And the missionaries taught these preachers, okay? But how in the world were they going to teach the slaves what the Bible really taught? And lo and behold, came birth of the African American spiritual. Because you see, what would happen, and I guess it's something that just kind of developed. We don't have dates for when these things really came about. But what would happen is that maybe they were working, or maybe they were at a worship service, whatever. And they kind of composed these things on their own. And so there would be a leader. And in our case here, what would have happened is that one of the individuals would sing, "Were you there when they crucified my Lord?" And then everybody else sang, "Were you there when they crucified my Lord?" They repeated and repeated and repeated. And of course, by repeating, guess what? They learned and they knew, okay? That's how all of this really came about. And I will just warn you right off the bat that while most of our African spirituals seem so simplistic, don't sell them short. Do not sell them short. There's more in there than we would ever know. Okay, so that's how this came about. And they sang them. They would sing them in worship. They would sing them out in the fields. The African Americans there, the slaves, I think that they could really relate to the pain, the agony, the suffering to some extent as they worked out in the fields, as they were beaten, as they were mistreated. It gave them a great deal of comfort, great deal of hope, because they felt that they lived in a hopeless situation. And for them, the hope was this. One day they were going to be with their Lord. But just a little sidelight here. You know those slaves? They were pretty doggone smart. How many of you know the song, the African spiritual, "Swing Low, Sweet Chariot"? How many of you've heard of that one? Okay. It's a fantastic spiritual song. Okay. And it goes, "Swing low, sweet chariot." I wish I could sing it, but I won't kill you. "Swing low, sweet chariot, coming to take me home. Swing low, sweet chariot, coming to take me home. I looked over Jordan, and what did I see? Coming for me to take me home. A band of angels coming after me, coming for me to take me home." Well, obviously on the outset, right, this really does sound as if they're talking about eternal life, right? There's going to come a time they're going to have eternal life. I want you to listen to this third verse. Interesting. "If you get there before I do, coming for the to take me home. Tell my friends I'm coming too. Coming for to take me home." That was code. Did you know that? That was code. That was the code that they were using that was saying that certain stations on the Underground Railroad were coming and were open, and therefore it was time to go. Isn't that something? So when those stations were open, that verse was sung out in the fields, and they could start on the Underground Railroad. The slave owners never knew about it until it was too late. And of course, the thing does end by saying, for the most part, that even if they would get caught, it really wouldn't matter because they would be in heaven. But so not only was it a way praise God, to grow in the knowledge of His Word and His grace, but it was also a way in which they used for maybe the chance of earthly freedom. It's really neat. With that in mind, then, I'd like us to stand up, okay? And I'd like us to sing this hymn together. Were you there when they crucified my Lord? Be seated. I don't know if you noticed or not, but like I said before, quite simple, isn't it? It just keeps on repeating itself. And actually, if you notice very much so, that it opens up with a question. The question is repeated. The few words that are changed in each verse, okay, and it ends, okay? And while we only have four verses here, we have estimated that there might be something like 25 verses. Because you can imagine that as time went along, they added this, that, and everything else. This particular hymn was never written down until 1899 by a name of man by the name of William, I think, Barton or something like that. And he included it in his hymnal, Old Plantation Hymns, okay? The first time that it ever got into a denominational hymnal, 1940, the American Hymnal of the Episcopal Church. By the way, that part was very much American English speaking. That's how it got in there. It's interesting to note that the denominations very slow to adopt this. I think that there's a particular reason for it. Let's just take Lutheranism. In Lutheranism, you had a number of immigrations that came across. We have a congregation in the LCMS that just celebrated their 350th anniversary. Okay, that's almost way back, pre-Revolutionary War, isn't it? Yeah. That particular hymn was in their hymnal, okay? All right, because it goes way back. Most of our immigration took place well after slavery. A lot of the German immigration, after slavery. Slovak immigration, after slavery. This was not familiar with us, okay? Besides, Slovaks do not sing German hymns. Germans do not sing Slovak hymns. You know, God, I mean, that's all sin, okay? But your English-speaking churches in Lutheranism did, okay? This hymn was included. For us, believe it or not, I mean, as kids, okay, and I also remember, had with Christian day schools, it was in our Christian, it was in our hymnals for the kids. Kids were one of the very first things. This is one of the first ones that they learned. But the very first hymnal is what I call the new hymnal. Never mind, I won't get into it. Copyrighted 2006. First time it showed up in a hymnal. Isn't that something? Was it because of anything doctrinal? No. Was it because it was too simple? No. They just felt it just didn't relate. You know, it wasn't German, it wasn't Slovak, wasn't this, wasn't that. Well, now, of course, we know that today churches are not like that. So that's kind of like how it is now. But the hymn itself, it's so simple, isn't it? So simple. It starts out with a question. Were you there when they crucified my Lord? Second verse. Were you there when they nailed him to the tree? Third verse. Were you there when they laid him in the tomb? Were you there, fourth verse, when God raised him from the tomb? You know, a long time ago, I guess it was a fair amount of time ago, do you remember the brouhaha that Mel Gibson, and I'm not a great fan of his, but that he went through when he produced the film, The Passion of the Christ, okay? And one of the big things that was leveled against Mel Gibson was the fact that he was anti-Semitic. Why? Because he had the Jews involved in the crucifixion of Christ. I don't know how you can avoid that, because that was part of history. But the Jews were not the only bad guys in there, okay? Didn't the Romans have something to do with this too? Okay. Many people, when they think about the crucifixion and everything that happened with Jesus, they think of it in the past, and they have a tendency, they'll blame it on the Jews, they'll blame it on the Romans, on everybody else. And I want you to know right off the bat, that's not what is going on here. Okay? It's not. I wanted you to, this does talk about baptism. Okay? But this was one of these scriptures that this particular spiritual was based upon. It's Romans. You've heard it before. Okay? Do you not know that all of us who were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? We were therefore buried with him through baptism into death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we too may have a new life. There's a lot there, but the key here is this. Were you there? Were you there when they crucified my Lord? You were. Was I there? I was. Same with being nailed, laid in the tomb. See, when they were singing this spiritual, They were already acknowledging that they themselves were responsible for his crucifixion, for his nailing, for his death, for his burial, and then not really responsible for the resurrection, but praise God for the resurrection, okay? And if you don't think that I'm lying on this, I want you to take a step further. And if you take a look, all right, in each of those four verses, after they ask the question the second time, were you there when they crucified my Lord? Notice what it says. Oh, I'm not going to sing it. Sometimes it causes me to what? Tremble, tremble, tremble. Does anybody know what tremble means? Shake. Shake. Involuntarily shake. Quiver. I don't know. Those kind of things. What can be the cause of making you shake or quiver? Let's say shaking your boots. Fear, anxiety sometimes will do this. In this particular hymn, they're acknowledging that as they see their Lord being crucified, they're shaking in their boots because they understand, believe it or not, these slaves understood that's what they deserved. I wonder how many of us could just stop for a moment and try to picture the suffering of Christ and be afraid of that with the knowledge that that is precisely what we deserve. I want you to think about that. The other guy deserves it because he's no good. Put snow on my sidewalk. It took me forever to get it off. But me, okay? Do we look? Is there some fear there? Is there fear that's what we should be suffering because of our sin? That's what they're saying. They go on. Were you there when they nailed him to the tree? And then it says, oh, and I mean, you know, when they really got into it, they really went, oh, okay. Sometimes I tremble, tremble, tremble. Because they were taking that pain that Christ was experiencing when those spikes are going into his hands and into his feet. They were experiencing it. Because they knew that was the pain they should be suffering because of their sin. Okay? Think about this. This is deep. I don't like to think this way. I don't. Does anybody? I don't. But that's it. It's the same thing too. That death. Were you there when they laid him in the tomb? They were the ones. They knew. They were trembling. They're shaking. There's fear there because they understood he didn't deserve to be there. Remember I said there's like 20-some verses. One of those verses actually and acknowledges him to be the Son of God, thereby saying that the last person who deserved any of this was Christ. Okay? But there he is being laid. Okay? That's what they knew they deserved. I don't know if we can totally understand all of the emotions they themselves would understand and go through, because I don't know what it was like to work on some of those plantations. I suppose that they could get an idea somewhat of, you know, the terror and the pain and the torture that some of that was. I would venture to say that all of us could Maybe not physically, but I'm sure we can tear ourselves apart pretty good emotionally, can't we? You know? Okay, so yeah, we kind of know this. And you know, this song, if this thing just left and stopped right here, boy, this would be the most depressing thing in the world, wouldn't it? Just one more verse. There's another definition for tremble. It's shake, okay, like an involuntary shake, an involuntary quiver, but it's not caused by anxiety, not by fear or anything else, but by what? Excitement, glory, something great. Have you ever had like chills run up and down your spine when you have seen something that's just absolutely unbelievable? I mean, every once in a while, you know, when you have, I know like in some of our big chapel services in the seminary, well, even here sometimes too, you have a crowd at church and we're singing a glorious hymn, you know, praise to God, and everybody's singing, and I mean, you just feel this excitement just run right up and down your spine. Okay, that's tremble. So, were you there when they raised him from the tomb? Were you there when they raised him from the tomb? Paul says, yeah, we were. We were crucified with him in his death, and we were raised with him, right? Okay. And now he says, they say, it causes me to tremble, 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 but not with fear, but with what? Excitement, joy, happiness. Why? Because since he rose from the dead, no matter what they were experiencing, they had Jesus' victory. They could die out on those fields or whatever the case may be. It did not matter. They had Jesus' victory. They were going to live. Live forever. He was going to raise them from the dead and give them that new, glorious, and perfect life in heaven. Isn't that a fantastic message? I just love it. Just love it. By the way, all of these spirituals, there's hundreds and hundreds of them. This is all the precursor to gospel music. And we're not talking about Elvis Presley gospel music. We're talking about the gospel music in the church, which was the precursor to some of that other junk. But if, I knew I was going to get into trouble with that one. But I gotta tell you, and I don't mean this in a racist way, and I know I gotta shut up, I'm going too long. I love African Americans have soul. I don't know how else to put it, but let me tell you, when we used to go, when I had to attend the, African Immigrant Ministry services, and you talk about me preaching long? Those services were 5 hours. I would leave at 12 and my wife would say, I'll see you about 7. Okay, that's the way they went. But, boy, you know, there was just life there. It was a lot of fun. But can you imagine how God used all of this to build his kingdom in a very strong way? Praise be to God. Got to sing some more of these.